You're listening to County Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Association of Counties. This episode features a briefing for county leaders that includes updates from the federal, state, and local levels amid a second wave in the COVID-19 pandemic. As COVID-19 cases continue to spike across much of New York State, NYSAC's Executive Director, Stephen Aquario, is joined by Ryan Gregoire, NYSAC's Legislative Director, and Jack Marin, NYSAC's President, to provide this critical information for county leadership.
It's going to be tough for the next few months, as you've heard reported, as you've seen yourself and your community. We need to keep our heads above water and continue to lead at the local level. And I just wanted to share a couple of quotes in that regard. First quote, General Patton, be willing to make decisions. It's the most important quality in a good leader. Waffle, equivocate, flip-flop, whatever synonym you'd like to use, this is definitely one word you don't want anywhere near your name. Chart a course of action. Your team, your public is waiting. Rerouting or starting over is still more effective than letting decision fatigue take over. The next quote I wanted to share with you is from Admiral Hyman Rickover. It is necessary for us to learn from others' mistakes, so you will not live long enough to make all of them yourself. Meaning a lot of people have made a lot of great strides across the state. A lot of people have made mistakes, and the purpose of sharing those mistakes is so that we don't repeat them around the state. Please share them so that others can benefit. The next quote I wanted to leave with you is, never tell people how to do things. Tell them what to do, and they'll surprise you with their ingenuity, by General Patton. And then the last one I wanted to leave you with is from our very own Michael Zerlo from Clinton County. If you're in a firefight and you know the cavalry is coming, you don't stop shooting. The point is, we've come so far and we can't afford to fail. I wanted to just share some inspiration words and thank Steve Newhouse, the county executive in Orange County, for sharing some of those military quotes with me. I'd like to begin today with a federal update. The vaccine, a lot of attention out of Operation Warp Speed, another 8 million vaccines being shipped out next week. An independent advisory committee today will consider the Moderna vaccine. Moderna has been getting a lot of attention, and we do expect that to be approved as well. Again, around 95% efficacy rate with that. There's also two other vaccines in phase 3 clinical trials, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. Johnson & Johnson is exciting because it is a single dose vaccine. We could have 4 vaccines in the market before January. And what we have been told by the federal government is any American who wants a vaccine should be able to have one by the second quarter of 21. Frontline health workers and then nursing homes should be getting the distribution of the vaccine. First, in these first phases, as we've talked about, $140 million in funding was distributed from the CDC to the states on December 14th. All vaccine costs are being taken care of by the federal government. Ancillary supplies, the cost of delivering the vaccines, and 636 sites nationwide have received those vaccines. Quick update on federal stimulus negotiations. Friday is a deadline for funding the federal government, and if they don't pass a $1.4 trillion government operations funding, their federal government will close. So what the Congress is trying to do now is either pass a stimulus tied to the government operations funding or pass a continuing resolution through the weekend, a two-day extension, giving time to negotiate the COVID relief package. So we'll wait to see what they do. Unfortunately, the federal negotiators were unable on this next round of very important COVID funding to reach an agreement to include the direct unrestricted aid to the states and to the county governments. There was extensive negotiations by both the House and the Senate in a bipartisan manner. And I just want to read to you very quickly what was on the line in that package for the state of New York and for your county in particular. Just take me a minute to get through here. The state itself, $12.5 billion was earmarked for New York State. Of that, 20% to the counties. The shares as follows, the best projections that we could put together, $39 million for Albany County, Allegheny, $6 million, Broome, $25 million, Cattaraugus, $9 million, Cayuga, $9 million, Chautauqua, $16 million, Chemung, $10 million, Shenango, $6 million, Clinton, $10 million, Columbia, $7.6 million, Cortland, $6 million, Delaware, $5 million, Dutchess, $37 million, Erie County, $118 million, Essex, $4 million, Franklin, $6 million, Fulton, $6 million, Genesee, $7 million, Greene, $6 million, Hamilton, $567,000, Herkimer, $7 million, Jefferson, $14 million, Lewis, $3 million, Livingston, $8 million, Madison, $9 million, Monroe, $95 million, Montgomery, $6 million, Nassau, $174 million, Niagara, $26 million, Oneida, $29 million, Onondaga, $59 million, Ontario, $14 million, Orange, $49 million, Orleans, $5 million, Oswego, $15 million, Otsego, $7 million, Putnam, $12 million, Rensselaer, $20 million, Rockland, $41 million, Saratoga, $29 million, Schenectady, $19 million, Schoharie, $3 million, Schuyler, $2 million, Seneca, $4 million, St. Lawrence, $13 million, Steuben, $12 million, Suffolk, $189 million, Sullivan, $9 million, Tioga, $6 million, Tompkins, $13 million, Ulster, $22 million, Warren, $8 million, Washington, $7 million, Wayne, $11 million, Westchester, $124 million, Wyoming, $5 million, and Yates, $3 million. The total for the 57 counties, about $1.4 billion, New York City, $1 billion even, a grand total of about $2.5 billion. We wanted to read that to you because that was what was on the line. That is all the hard work that you did, that we did collectively to get through the United States Congress to negotiate this piece of legislation. Unfortunately, that was taken off the table a few days ago, yesterday, still being discussed, but not likely to come out of it. So shifting gears, the final stimulus package, we're trying to push for 100% FEMA reimbursement match. Negotiations are hovering around a $90 billion fund. For FEMA. We're trying to open up the FEMA reimbursement channels to make more expenses eligible, a broader criteria to allow us to submit for it. The Senate GOP doing everything they possibly can to block this from happening, viewing it as a backdoor attempt to help fund the state and local governments. So we want to encourage you right now to go back as far as you can to March to try to document your FEMA expenses, be ready for this. If we are successful, this is how we're gonna have to do it. We're gonna have to try to get things reimbursed through FEMA. So we're gonna be coordinating with the State Division of the Budget. The budget director has assigned a special liaison for county governments. A specific team at the state level will be partnering with the county leaders. We will be holding a webinar probably next week. As soon as the stimulus package is passed, we'll reconvene the counties to talk specifically about documenting FEMA expenses and working with the state to apply for that reimbursement, whether it's 90% or 100% reimbursement. That's where we're focused. We're also focusing in on extending the COVID relief funds to December 31st, 2021, working very closely with NACO. And to make sure that we get that extension, and also increasing CDBG funds as part of this next package. And those counties which are eligible for this administrative can draw down a 15% administrative fee out of those CDBG funds. So big picture of this final COVID package is centering around vaccine money, money for schools, unemployment, supplemental unemployment of $300 per week, small business loans, and stimulus checks at the level of $600 per person for income eligible individuals. Quick state update, the governor announcing yesterday a Celebrate Smart public service campaign, announcing the vaccine distribution. They have set up a new web portal for you www.ny.gov/vaccine. It's a new web portal to access the anything dealing with the vaccines is going to be updated onto that portal. The governor said implementing the vaccine will take anywhere from 6 to 9 months. 87,000 doses have been received so far. 4,000 have been administered. The state is expecting another 80,000 doses over the next few days. An additional shipment from Moderna coming in expected on December 22nd. All of you should know that by now that the state has established a regional vaccination hub coordinators through the hospital system. Western New York Catholic Health System, Finger Lakes University of Rochester Medical Center, Southern Tier United Health Services, Central New York SUNY Upstate Medical, the Mid-Hudson Westchester Medical, North Country Champlain Valley, Mohawk Valley Medical Center, Capital Region Albany Medical Center, Long Island Northwell Health, New York City Greater New York Hospital Association. These coordinators will work with local governments and local partners to develop a specific plan in each region by the first week of January, and the state will approve those plans and provide support for those plans, likely including the new federal funding that should be coming in. The local health departments will continue storage and administration of the vaccine, implement local mass vaccination plans, continue to build public trust in the vaccine, and work with community providers and partners to ensure the availability of supplies and product. NYSAC is working on a public service announcement for the counties and should be getting that out to you over the next few weeks. The state has directed all health insurers to immediately cover any COVID vaccine administration costs in full. The governor mentioned yesterday the role of hospital systems, completing a patient load balancing plan among all facilities within their system. If they're independent hospitals that are not part of a hospital system, they must forge a new relationship with neighboring hospitals in the event of surges, that the hospitals can move patients around accordingly. With respect to the state budget, the state has a $15 billion budget hole. The lawmakers have some key decisions to make on how to fill that hole. Are they going to raise taxes? Are they going to reduce spending? Are they going to implement cuts to local governments, school districts? Are they raising new revenue? Are they going to approve cannabis? Are they going to authorize sports betting? The governor laid out two options for the state legislature yesterday. Option A, do the budget now with no federal aid and solve for the $15 billion problem. Governor doesn't like this option because it will result in thousands of layoffs and extraordinary high tax increases. Option B, wait until February or March and do a budget with federal funds and any necessary tax increases and cuts. In this scenario, the state would advance up to $1.5 billion to organizations with cash flow issues to make it to next February or March. A lot of state budget negotiations already underway. NYSAC has been engaged. NYSAC president has been engaged. The president of the county executives has been involved in those discussions. We have been urging the state to defer the diverting of local sales taxes for a distressed healthcare facilities fund. You'll recall this happened in April, where the state is intercepting county-based sales taxes and giving it to a distressed healthcare facility fund. We've brought to the state's attention that the hospitals have received $10 billion in federal relief from the COVID relief funds. So we're arguing that the healthcare hospital system doesn't need our county sales taxes, and we do. Another issue we're highlighting with the state, and we appear to have traction building, is jail staffing. We are anticipating flexibility being given to the counties to be able to negotiate or work with our sheriffs directly to staff the jails, as opposed to being mandated based on the number of beds in a particular local correctional facility, as is currently the process. We have been asking the state for many years now to give this flexibility to the counties, and we are now going to project that we will get that flexibility. So we're encouraging you to look at your plans right now, your jail staffing plans, how many COs you have, attrition, things of that nature that you might be able to use, and start a dialogue with the sheriff over the next couple of weeks and months. We're also focusing very closely on working with the state on EF map adjustment. So this is the enhanced FMAP that you all and we all fought collectively. Early on in the COVID war, the federal government increased the federal participation in Medicaid. This resulted in a reduction on the weekly share of Medicaid. We are now going to project that the state is going to continue to reduce the weekly share going through up till April. And then we're looking for additional guidance on what will be happening to the weekly shares after April 1st, 2021. But they did, the state did clarify that they will be passing through the newly earned quarters of the enhanced FMAP through a weekly share reduction. So if you're concerned about budgeting locally, we are going to project that that is how the state is going to continue to provide the federal enhanced funding. Unemployment insurance program. Ryan Gregoire, I'd like to go to you for the report on unemployment insurance. We have taken several calls from the counties about this federal program here and unemployment insurance. Can you give the county leaders a quick update on that?
Sure. So right now, everyone is paying 50% of the full UI bill. The state is paying the other 50%, or I'm sorry, the federal government's covering the other 50%. State Department of Labor came out last week and made a notice to the county saying that you only need to be paying 50% of your bill. So let's say your bill, you get a bill for $100, you should only be paying 50%, which is $50. And then they're going to reimburse you for the overpayment in prior months. So the Department of Labor Commissioner is finalizing that plan. Once that plan has been finalized, the Division of Budget is going to share it with NYSAC, and they're going to detail the timing of when that overpayment credit reimbursement will happen. And Stephen, if I may, I just wanted to make one note on the federal component, the federal advocacy. For those who are listening to Stephen's update on the FEMA reimbursement process and what we're doing there with the federal government, we encourage everyone, particularly those who are in Lee Zeldin's district, John Katko, Tom Reed, Elise Stefanik. If you, Chris Jacobs, if you are in a district, if your member of Congress is in the Republican minority in the House of Representatives, it's particularly important to reach out to them right now and make sure that that 100% FEMA federal pass-through gets put into this next stimulus deal. The negotiations, as Stephen mentioned, are with the four corners, Pelosi, Schumer, McConnell, McCarthy, and it's critical to make sure that that FEMA component is added. So those members of Congress, when you call John Katko, make sure that he gets to Kevin McCarthy, that's his leader, to say this has to be included in the final deal. So we encourage everyone to keep the pressure on Congress. They're working on a deal, but I just wanted to add that piece, Stephen. Thank you.
Yeah, let me just reinforce what Ryan mentioned here and really encourage all of you to contact your member of Congress. This is no slam dunk. This is not guaranteed. We do know with certainty that state and local government funding is out. It is not part of this package that's being negotiated. The players have changed the strategy in Washington. So we are desperate to work and focus on FEMA reimbursement. That is the number one issue we're trying to get done, as well as extending the COVID relief funding eligibility to be extended till December 31st, 2021. Really, we do need you to weigh in on this issue with FEMA, because this could be something that would benefit us tremendously as we go forward. The White House, I'm told yesterday, is looking to block this effort. Why, I don't know, but this is very important to a state like New York. And as Ryan mentioned, if you do have a Republican member of the House in your district, very important for you to urge them to include that as part of the final package, making those emails or contacts today. Thank you, Ryan, very much. Governor has done 83 executive orders to date. On the 13th, the governor signed Executive Order 202.82, which is largely focused on the vaccine process. This allows for COVID vaccination at points of dispensing run by the State Department of Health or the local Department of Health. It amends medical record keeping requirements and allows physician assistants, nurse practitioners to administer vaccines without a written practice agreement or a relationship, importantly, with a physician. The department can also consider applications for temporary vaccine sites without going to the State Public Health Planning Council. And existing authorized vaccine providers in the state can provide COVID-19 vaccines at no cost. So we did want to report that to you. Also, if you're in a PROACT or a Kinney drugstore area, they just told us today that they will be providing the vaccine as well in that part of the state, Central New York, North Country. A couple of just last quick things. I just wanted to bring an executive order from Albany County. Albany County did an executive order that limited the fee a third-party delivery app can charge to deliver food. Apparently, there's been a fair amount of price gouging in the county, and the county executive implementing a limitation to tamp down on price gouging that restaurants are experiencing from apps like Grubhub or DoorDash, which have fees as high as 40%. We understand that Syracuse, the city of New York, Seattle have passed similar measures, maybe something if that's happening in your county. We're watching the administration take shape in Washington, D.C. We noted our Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner, Basil Sagos, is under consideration for the U.S. EPA top spot, very important. The president-elect going to be focusing on climate change. Thankfully, your association, through the leadership of Mark Poloncarz as the chair of the NYSEC Resiliency Committee, we put a lot of work into climate change resiliency programs in the state of New York, doing a lot of work in that regard. You'll start to see a lot more coming out of our association addressing the need to fight climate change and reduce the carbon footprint. Likely to see the former attorney general from Michigan, Jennifer Granholm, become the energy secretary. Her focus is going to be on competing with China on electric vehicles. So you'll start seeing a lot of information coming out from our office about the need to better build an infrastructure to provide charging stations and so forth to meet the needs of the community for the conversion to electric vehicles. So that'll conclude the update. And then I'd like to see if our president, Supervisor Jack Maron, has anything he'd like to say. Jack.
Yeah, Steve, thank you. And good afternoon, everyone. Steve certainly gave a very compelling financial picture when he talked about each and every county and what we're missing out on. And I plan on sharing that at my Board of Supervisors meeting this evening. And I'm sure that'll put the budget officer and the director of finance over the edge as well. But hopefully we keep our fingers crossed that our next administration, that type of package, the local government can be delivered. Again, I reiterate and support what Ryan mentioned as far as reaching out to your House GOP members, and certainly within the Finger Lakes region, I actually have two of those members that I need to reach out to myself. One thing I want to mention, certainly COVID scenario here in the Finger Lakes region. I think we were feeling bad for Mark Poloncarz in Erie County. So we took them out. They're no longer in first place. Probably no one wants to be in first place for the highest number of positive cases, but Finger Lakes, we are in, we're pretty in a critical situation here. I think surely it's no secret that Monroe County is pretty close to being a red county here. And I think the governor has outlined the fact that he's trying to hold off until January with those kind of closures, and certainly provide us in this region the opportunity to at least reap the financial benefit of maybe some sales through retail and things of that nature. So we're not in a good place here. Our control room met again. We usually meet once a week. We met twice this week. Yesterday was specifically just for rebranding, a new message to the community. Like our residents within our communities, they're tired of wearing masks, social distancing, hearing that same message maybe from our directors of public health and the elected officials. We're trying to come up with a different method. So we are working with a marketing firm to help us with their expertise, or more to follow from the Finger Lakes region. So again, as president of NYSAC, I want to thank all of you for your time and what you do day in and day out for all of your counties. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to this NYSAC podcast. Keep tuning in to hear more insightful conversations on county government throughout New York State. And feel free to reach out to our staff if there is a topic you would like to hear us discuss on the podcast.